Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. The traditional college promise made to previous generations is dramatically different for young people now, and there's a large segment of people who are falling through the cracks, ending up burdened with mountains of debt and/or feelings of shame for being dropouts. Our culture of higher education is backwards. First you pick a four-year college, then you pick a major, then you figure out what you're going to do, and then you try it out. This week's guest is going to talk about this organization that's working to turn that around by offering a new model of higher education. Our guest is Ty Adams, Marketing and Communications Manager at Wayfinding Academy. From professional experiences working as a wildland firefighter, an alligator surveyor, a newspaper reporter, a magazine editor, a green RV builder, and founder of an educational nonprofit and marketing director, Ty is working on mastering the jack of all trades thing. He finds deep resonance with the wayfinding concept of cultivating people to lead passionate, fulfilling, and interesting lives, brimming with exploration, adventure, community, and service. Ty is excited to be part of such a purpose-driven team and to use his arcane marketing powers for good. When not consulting the oracles of Google Ads and analytics, you'll likely find him at the Northeast Portland homestead he shares with his wife and two young boys, where mornings start well before sunrise and sometimes involve taming dragon cats to the soundtrack of Tejano music. Hello, Ty, and welcome to the Pathways Show.
Hi, Paul. I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you.
What a colorful story you have.
It's a mouthful.
You know, we could probably spend a show just talking about your background, but I want to spend the time today talking about this interesting organization that you're representing with us today on Pathways called Wayfinding Academy. What the hell is this, and how did it get started?
Well, Wayfinding Academy is a college, two-year college, nonprofit based here in Portland, Oregon, in St. John's. We have a campus there, and it was started by Michelle Jones. Michelle is, in my opinion, an amazing visionary, an incredible all-around person. She also was a professor for 15 years at private colleges, including a five-year stint here at Concordia. And what she was discovering was that a lot of young people were telling her in her courses, you know, this feels backward to me to be asked a question about who I want to be and where do I want to go with my life as a junior or senior. Why wasn't anyone asking me this question?
Was this a question she was posing?
This was part of her coursework. Yeah, I mean, yeah. She was teaching soft business skills and was asking that question, which had personal resonance for her. She had a mentor who kind of passed those questions on to her at a young age, and so she was sharing those with students, and they were responding sometimes with anger and sometimes with just frustration that, well, you know, I've spent so much money and here I am and you're asking me this question. It's kind of making me rethink my choices, but I feel too far in. So it felt backward to them, and that she carried that frustration as a you know, professor and personally, and it scratched at her for a while. And I think she decided was, I'd like to do something about it. So she quit her job, quit her tenured professorship at Concordia, and with the support of the provost there, to my understanding, and a lot of her community. Her friends and community, she decided to make the completely normal life choice of starting her own nonprofit college in St. John's.
And that's where we come up with Wayfinding Academy.
So
what does it mean to turn the system frontwards? What does that look like?
Well, what it looks like is to begin with the questions that maybe a lot of young people aren't being asked these days, which is, you know, who are you? What do you want to be? Who do you want to be? How do you want to be in the world? What gifts do you bring? What are your talents? And where would you like to go with those talents? Where do you think you can plug into the society around you? How can you serve society? Do you want to serve society? These kind of inward-focused questions that I think some of us overlook, maybe, or that higher ed certainly doesn't spend a ton of time on. Asking them those questions first before getting them $100,000 in debt.
Right,
and you know, having spent 3, 4, 5, 6 years pursuing something that they're not sure about.
Does it make sense that an 18-year-old is going to be able to contemplate, I mean, they can contemplate, but that they can answer these big questions that would seem to me to require a fair amount of self-knowledge. How do they know what they're good at? You know, how do they know what skills they natively have unless they've, you know, been very fortunate to try a lot of stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, I certainly didn't at 18, but I think where we can serve them is, and where we strive to support them at Wayfinding, is to give them a support system, to provide them. They have every student gets a guide that they meet with for 45 minutes a week, which is a significant investment in mentorship and resources to help them, you know, help guide them along this path and help them answer those questions. And then the coursework, there's 9 courses, and all the courses are designed to kind of lead them on a trajectory, not to get them right to that point at day one, but to help lead them on a trajectory to by where year two, they feel confident that they can answer at least some portion of their why. Their why now. What's my why now at this age? And that's not to say it would change, but it seems to us to make a lot more sense to begin that process early and give them the opportunity to wrestle with those questions in a way that's not, you know, that's a less expensive option.
And kind of more organic, too, because the motivation and the inspiration is coming from within them.
Right, right. So they spend the first half answering those questions, and then the second half of their coursework is, and the program is focused on, now that I feel like I'm getting some answers to those, maybe not perfect answers, but some answers, then they look at the society around them and figure out how to plug in, study, you know, and a lot of the subject matter, you know, it's interdisciplinary, so it's instead of siloed, like, here, now you're going to learn math, now you're going to learn science, now you're going to learn, you know, reading, now you're going to learn writing, which, you know, feels like it doesn't match how our brains work. They get an interdisciplinary, you know, these courses bring up a lot of those subjects, and they get immersed in those, especially if that's where their passions are guiding them.
Right.
But in a way that's, you know, that's not just here's a slice, and here's a slice, and here's a slice. We try to integrate that.
So the school has been authorized by Oregon's Higher Education Commission to grant associate's degrees in self and society.
Right, yeah. Michelle made that up.
I've never heard of that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's this whole thing. I go there. You've got a model that helps every student with some, you know, 50% of their tuition is through student aid.
Right.
But I go there and I come out of it after a couple of years with this associate's degree.
Right.
And I suppose that gives me a platform for then taking some more focused taking a focused approach to the rest of my education if it's needed.
Right.
Do people ever, and so I can't assume that everybody's 18 that starts in this associate's program.
No.
What is the average age of the students?
So the age range right now has run from 18 to 46. Mm-hmm. I would say the vast majority are 20 to 25 in that range.
Right.
Most of them have tried some form of higher education. 70% have tried something and it didn't fit for them, didn't work for them. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, we feel a lot of people are falling through the cracks. They, you know, 57% of people that go to college graduate. So most people who go to college drop out. And, you know, we feel like in our society that comes with some feelings of shame. And as you mentioned in the intro, some shame and sense that I'm not worthy or I'm not good enough. And we certainly want to address that.
I'm proud to be a dropout.
Right, absolutely.
In the ranks with Bill Gates,
yeah, Michael
and Steve
Bell,
Jobs.
Right, yeah, right, right. Yeah, you bet.
I don't feel bad about it at all. But, you know, I'm from a different generation. Nowadays, you know, it's brutal. You know, kids are pressured to get into college at
absolutely.
Any cost and then make big decisions that could put them 50 to 100 grand in debt
right.
before they know who they are. So this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, the main message that we have is we need to stop telling our young people that this is the only path to a successful life with meaningful work. It's not. and it's a myth already. I mean, 33% of Americans have a college degree. That surprised Michelle, it surprised me. We get this, you know, all the way from K through 12, we get this message, this is the path, this is what you need to do, and that promise that's made to our young people that it's going to be, I think we're through the myth that it's an easy path to success, but it's still, the you know, it's not the path to success that even our parents, grandparents, especially our grandparents had. I mean, when you look at the rising cost of tuition compared to the wages, the average wage of a college graduate, it's ridiculous.
Right.
So that promise is, to us, you know, is a bit of a...
It's a broken promise.
A broken promise, right. So we're working to address that through Michelle's vision and the support of our...
Your website says, Wayfinding Academy is more than a college, it's a movement.
That's the big vision, right? That's the goal. And I think it's too early to tell. We're 3 years in with students, 4 years in. They started 4 years ago. And then, you know, they spent a year building programs, curriculum, finding a building, finding a campus in St. John's, and then brought students on in 2016. So we've graduated one cohort of students. We have two cohorts currently enrolled, and we're going to bring on two more cohorts in the fall.
School year look like?
So the school year is a trimester based, which is unusual in college, but it seemed to Michelle, you know, one big part of the program is also to integrate student life with community life. Rather than here we are and there's the townies, it's more your campus is more than a building. Your campus is your community, and getting pushing them to interact with their community. And some of them don't need pushes, but you know, some of us do. Some of us are more introverted, and so I think that you know, that's definitely a big part of it. And so we do, they're called learn and explore trips, where students and community decide on a trip that they want to take. There's one that recurs every year. It's the Camino del Santiago in Spain. And Michelle's on that trip right now. Otherwise, she'd probably be here in my stead. But, you know, so they do these trips together as a community, and they've gone all over the world. And I think that you know, with their community, deciding where to go, and that's a big part of it is to bring them closer together with community and make those connections stronger.
Is there a campus location?
Yeah.
What's the campus like?
The campus is an old YMCA building. It's a beautiful old building. I get a great vibe every time I go in there. There's a lot of art on the walls, and we might need a few more plants, but it's just a beautiful space. And when we bring people in, I think it really resonates what we're about. It's just north of downtown St. John's, right next to James John Elementary School. And it's
cool.
A great space.
And referring to this movement, what are different ways of getting involved with this movement? Because becoming a student is only one.
Right. And part of our vision is to develop more ways. But, I mean, if people are interested, they can visit the website. And then from there, there's a lot of different ways they can plug in. If you want to plug in just as a community supporter, you know, become a luminary, give a recurring gifts, that certainly would be wonderful. Or if you just want to plug in a lighter way, we offer labs, which are community-led instructional courses and workshops that people can sign up for. Our community can join us, as I mentioned before, they can join us on Learn and Explore trips. Our space is available for rent. We've got a beautiful, almost concert hall-esque sort of room where people have hosted anything from, last weekend we had Senator Merkley give a speech. We've done concerts.
Oh, he's fantastic.
So, yeah,
I
man.
Love him.
Yeah. So we, you know, there's a lot of ways to plug in, and if people, you know, if people aren't in that age range where they feel like it's, you know, it's appropriate to ask the big picture questions that we ask people to ask of themselves, there's certainly lots of other ways to plug into our programming.
What is a luminary? I mean, this could involve people of any age, right?
Absolutely. So a luminary is a donor. It's someone who gives a recurring gift.
I thought it was somebody who gave a gift of some kind of workshop or lab or something.
Well, a lab instructor would be that. Would be someone, you know, who would fit that role. And they don't have to be a luminary. We don't ask instructors to, you know, if they want to just come and share knowledge, absolutely, we welcome that. And so that's the lab program. And then the luminary program is just our donor program, where we ask folks to give a recurring monthly donation to help support, as you mentioned, you know, we ask students to pay half of our tuition. $11,000 a year is what they pay. Our hard costs are $21,000 a year. So we make up the rest of that with community support and then some rental.
And you were telling me that there's a really forward-thinking distribution of wealth in this. Everybody gets paid the same thing?
That's what spoke to me personally, and I don't think I would have joined without it. But when I saw that, you know, here you have this as I mentioned, Michelle, you know, she went from earning near six figures to you know, I think we'd all like a little bit more room between us and living wage, but, you know, a drastic reduction in salary because it's egalitarian and she wants everyone to earn the same wage. That was her vision, and we've all of our crew has adopted it. I certainly was excited about that as well, you know, and that spoke to me. That spoke volumes to me that here you have the president of the college who's willing to put themselves.
I think it would have been radical if it had been, you know, no more than twice as much, the lowest paid employee or something like that.
Yeah, I know, it would have been. You're right, absolutely. Yeah, so that spoke volumes to me, and I think it just speaks to her complete dedication to this vision and executing it to the best of her ability. And I've certainly found it inspiring, and I think our team, the rest of our team, does as well. So
let's talk about some of the program tracks.
Yeah,
there's one that. There's a new one coming up called the Life Finding Program.
Right.
But before we go into detail on that, what are some of the other ones?
Our original Wayfinding course is Wayfinding program is 9 courses.
Okay.
And so anyone, you know, who signs up for that program becomes a Wayfinding student, and it's a 2-year, you know, it's a 2-year commitment, and at the end they get the degree. So that's the original program. And part of our next steps and part of our bigger vision and part of that goal to integrate more community and have students and community working closer together, we're creating a pilot program called Life Finding, the Life Finding program. And what we're doing there is one of the comments that lots of folks have, especially folks who have maybe already gone to college or feel like they're past that, you know, that age to ask big picture questions. One of the comments we get from them is, man, I wish there was something like this when I went to school or when I was that age. And this is a response to that. And it's that idea that you're never outside of your age, you're never outside of a capacity to learn or to give. And so we're taking some of the Wayfinding curriculum and applying it to that short course program. It'll start, if we get enough registrations, it'll start May 6th, and it'll run for 6 weeks. We'll have an instructor, Corey Pressman, who is a consultant at a local firm for creativity consulting. And he's a pretty magical, neat guy as well. So I think, and he's got a pretty cool curriculum developed with his partner, Angela. So I think that people are really going to enjoy it. And it's to delve into those questions as well, you know, of people who are in a stage of transition, maybe if they're pre-retirement or retirement age, and they're kind of wondering, where do I go next? You kind of the same questions that that happen to all of us throughout our lives, you know, especially in our younger years. But in all honesty, to me, in my experience, they happen kind of recurring throughout your life. And
yeah.
So what we're aiming to do is to answer that and. Or help them answer that for themselves, actually. And so,
I've been asking myself the question lately: how many midlife crises are you allowed to have?
right. And we also really love the idea of an intergenerational learning community where you've got folks from 70 to 18. I think that there's just not a lot of spaces where that's happening.
Well, you said you had some students in their 40s.
Right.
Are they having a midlife crisis, or is that what's happening? They're reinventing themselves? I mean, why would somebody come in the 40s?
I think you're onto something in that, you know, maybe they feel like they haven't connected with their why at the time, right? Or maybe they're feeling a little bit like they aren't sure of their next steps in life. I think that is probably a common denominator to a lot of folks who attend Wayfinding, whether they're 18 or 46, is that what I found is they like to ask why a lot. You know, we got some upstarts and some muckrakers, but they also, you know, they also haven't found their why necessarily, or haven't found a way to manifest their why in the world. And so I think that defies age. I think you can have that. You can build a course to support that at 18. You can build a course to support that at 70. And so what the Life Finding program is to support that, you know, for folks who maybe want a shorter time commitment, but they also feel like they're out of touch with what drives them or what their purpose is and how to manifest that purpose in the world. And that's kind of the point of the Life Finding program, is to connect those dots, help folks connect.
So now there's no grades at this school, right?
I know.
How do students survive without grades?
I know. Like, how will we know how smart we are, right?
Yeah.
How will we know if we've won the teacher's approval?
Exactly.
I Yeah, I think, you know, those are two of the reasons I'd say that that the decision was made to not do grades, right? To us, project-based learning makes a ton of sense in terms of, look, it's almost more rigorous to, if I'm a student and I've got a presentation due, it's almost more rigorous for me to ask that student to meet with their guide and say, I didn't get my presentation done face-to-face, and or, you know, this is what I said I was going to do and I haven't done that. It's probably way more rigorous to do that than to say, here's an F. You know, so that's kind of the idea is, look, we can hold ourselves accountable, and especially if we have a community around us to help us hold ourselves accountable for what we say we want to accomplish, for what we say we want to learn and grow in. The grades at that point seem kind of unnecessary for that type of growth, and we focus very heavily on, you know, internships, getting students to actually try out the things that they believe they want to try out and get experience in the world in doing those things, rather than just sitting in a class, you know, with your head in a book or listen, you know, just receiving a download from an instructor. So the classes are way more collaborative. We do, you know, there is a lot of coursework that you'd find at subjects that you'd find at other colleges, universities, humanities, psychology, physics, you know, those are present there. It's just that we're not asking students to only learn one slice at a time. We're integrating the curriculum, and we're asking them to do it in a project-based way that makes sense for them. And it, honestly, I think it better prepares folks for life outside of an educational environment, because that is how the world works. It's, you know, it doesn't, to my chagrin, no one cared about a 3.9 GPA when I graduated college. It pissed me off, man, that, like, I'd put so much time and energy and work into this, and you put it on my resume, and no one commented on it. No one seemed to care. So that was kind of me busting through that myth in my own life. And it's true. It's, you know, it's more about what have you done. What got me my first job was that I worked for the student newspaper. And I think, you know, that's the point here, is to let's connect them to opportunities through internships or informational interviews, or letting them create their own capstone projects where they go pick a mentor in the community and ask that person to help them, you know, along the path, that's the goal there.
Now, these labs that you offer, these are open to the public, right?
Right.
So yeah, that's a way for the community to get involved as well, yeah, as registered students.
Right. I'd say that's one of the low bar ways to get involved, is to just come and be in the space and learn something. We've offered labs anything from, you know, personal finance to how to live your dream life, you know, to everything in between. And I think that, if they want to share their knowledge, we're certainly open to being, you know, contacted from folks who have that penchant as well.
Now, Wayfinding has alumni.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they now?
I was really inspired. That was one of the things that I was really inspired by when I decided to join the team. They're doing a lot of radically different but very cool things in the world. Annie, part of the coursework that she helped design and that was, you know, where we supported her was in becoming a carpenter. She wanted to become a carpenter, and she did an internship, created things, you know, did woodworking, and then she was really, I think, the only one that applied for a job after, and she applied to three of the premier green home builders in Portland and got job offers from all three. So she now works at Hammer and Hand as a carpenter.
Wow.
And so then, you know, we've got Haley went into, she created her own event planning business. She had done internships at Wayfinding, you know, under folks who were doing event planning. She knew that was a passion and
cool
and skill set, so she went there. I could go on. There's a lot of them doing really neat things, but I would say what's probably, to me, what's more important is, you know, do they feel that their degrees were helpful? Do they feel that time spent there and the money that they spent there was worth it? Because, you know, I think if you look at the statistics for most of us who went through the traditional path, there's a lot of folks who don't feel that way.
Right.
And so I'm not going to speak for them. I certainly would welcome folks that they're on our website. You can contact them and ask them. But I'm fairly certain that they would all say, yeah, this helped in a real practical way for me to connect the dots from where I was to where I wanted to go.
Beautiful. Well, I want to thank you, Ty, for being on the show.
I want to thank you very much.
There's so much more we could explore, but yeah. We've run out of time.
Right. And hopefully, you know, if you choose to have Michelle on the show again, she's an amazing person, and I absolutely recommend it.
I think we should have her on the show. I think it would be very enlightening. I mean, yeah. What an inspiration.
One thing I did want to mention for folks who want to hear it straight from the founder's mouth, she's got a TEDx talk that just came out. It's called How to Do College Better. You can just Google that, Michelle Jones. Okay. And it's really inspiring. It's 15 minutes. I found it. It really sums up like what we're all about and kind of more about her personal journey.
And what was the name of that TED talk?
How to Do College Better.
How to Do College Better, and that's about the Wayfinding Academy. And I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website, which is wayfindingacademy.org.
Yes.
So they can go there and learn a whole lot. I did.
Cool.
And it's a pretty nice site and full of great information. For those who tuned in to the Pathway Show late today, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Great Decisions, Perfect Timing, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. In a second, I'll tell you how you can rewind and replay this interview whenever you want, via the internet or as a free podcast. Today, we have been visiting with Ty Adams, Marketing and Communications Manager of Wayfinding Academy. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed via KBOO.fm Sunday mornings at 8:30 USA Pacific Time. Podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com, that's spelled divination.com, as well as via iTunes and other free podcast servers. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and Podcasts. And thanks again to Ty Adams of Wayfinding Academy and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.